Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel.
And I'm Viking.
This is the podcast where we take an album, listen to it, find some facts, some funny thoughts, and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Today's episode is a hot one, spicy one.
It's about a hot minute.
Yeah, from Red Hot Chili Peppers. But right now, we're going to slow down the tempo.
Yeah, low energy.
We have the best energy for Red Hot Chili Peppers ever. Yeah. So we're going to have a chill Saturday afternoon, I was going to say. But it's not afternoon, is it? It's noon.
Yeah,
it's not noon. After the noon.
A little bit afternoon.
So how have you been working?
Well, me personally, I've been fine, I guess. But it's been interesting seeing the world descend into
madness.
1990s disaster movie.
Yeah, Y2K. Kind of.
Just yesterday, like both the Swedish statsminister and the
prime minister.
I guess that's a translation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a press conference, and also Mr. Donald Trump also had a press.
The prime minister of the United States. Yeah. No, wait, that's not how it works. President. Mm-hmm. El Presidente. Yeah. I didn't see any of those two ones, but I will check them out later today.
Yeah, it was interesting because they really had, you know, like when you have when you're watching those 90s disaster movies.
Yeah. It feels like Contagion or what's the Will Smith movie?
It's more like a Deep Impact or when the president comes out and like we need to stand together. Kind of like the
Independence Day.
Yeah, Bill Pullman's Independence
Day. Yeah, I just knew what you were going for. I'm like, yeah, Independence Day.
Yeah.
The first one is awesome. The second one is...
It's a wet fart.
Yeah, it's a wet fart. It's a hot pile of doo-doo.
Yeah.
We're talking about coronavirus or COVID-19. So everybody, please be safe. Mind yourself, your surroundings, and everybody around you. And just be respectful of everybody's boundaries.
Yeah.
Sanitize, hand wash, and try not to do like me and scratch your eyes all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm a face toucher.
Yeah.
So
me too.
And just be careful and always just be cognizant.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think we'll pull through and we'll hopefully come together and band as a human race.
It's been interesting to it feels like 80% of my Instagram feed has been like things being delayed, from musicians delaying their tours to like record store day to some like retro.
The only thing I'm going to game hasn't been delayed or postponed or anything. I'm still going to this March,
yeah,
which is kind of weird because. Örebro Konsert who said no, we're gonna keep on going.
Yeah, but also
we're a small city.
Yeah, and they're not over. Sweden have declared a maximum of 500 people at once. But
at the social gatherings venues and so what. So it's gonna be interesting, but
Also the thing I'm looking forward to the most hasn't been delayed. Also, not yet, at least. That's the Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, cross your fingers.
Yeah. They have delayed all their March and April tour dates, but they're playing or they performing in Stockholm at May 20th. So I'm hoping they will hold that date.
Hopefully we'll figure out. A lot is closed down. I don't watch that much basketball anymore, but the NBA closed down.
Yeah,
but I saw some heartwarming stories also, like a couple of young guys, a certain young player, he's 19, he's going to support everybody, the staff, the arena staff and everybody for 30 days a month on salary, which is crazy. Just people banding together through hard times, and hopefully we'll get through it, everybody.
Yeah.
And we have music that brings us joy.
We have the best hobby for these times and these podcasts.
Yeah, and stay inside and like listen to music.
We're locked into a small room with just two microphones.
To shout out a record, a podcast that I had listened to and I tried to get you on is We Buy Records. They joked that one of them sprayed the other one with antibacterial spray while recording. I'm like, yes, let's have a screen. Let's live like the Bubble Boy.
Yeah, I mean, like, we should, like, if like, there are talks about, like, shutting down the schools here in Sweden.
Yeah.
And if they do that, I'm out of work.
Yeah.
So then we could have like a 24-hour quarantine podcast.
Yay!
Marathon.
Day one.
Yes.
Let's go crazy. No. We'll see what happens. But today we're gonna talk about some awesome music, and I'm gonna also later, I'm going to spoil now. I'm going to try to get something fun so we can all listen to something fun later. But first, we're going to listen to something spicy.
Yes,
so yeah, let's get into the record of today, which is One Hot Minute.
Yes.
With Red Hot Chili Peppers. So yeah, we're going to get into some first impressions.
First impressions. Well, I had my first impressions first.
Yeah, you had them long before me. So yeah, I'm gonna take mine because I feel like you have a story to tell.
No, I don't have that much of a story to tell, but it's kind of interesting going back to this record and like looking at it on, because like when I started listening to this record, I was. The internet was young and
it was a baby.
Yeah, and like I was young and I didn't like music research wasn't something you did. So, like,
you mostly had magazines at that point in time that you, if you would read, not Leah like you, but yeah, the people would read. It was mostly that.
It was the printed press.
Yeah,
so to say. But yeah, so you. Like the whole drama that we're gonna get into, like about the guitarist and stuff, you kind of didn't know about that, so it's kind of interesting going back with and looking at that lens.
Yeah, not here in Sweden, at least not at our age. Maybe somebody who was really into them.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but not general.
I was too young for that time for doing that kind of research. Like,
yeah,
and knowing like the stuff behind it, but. Yeah, it's an interesting record. I like it very much, and it's one of my favorite. I'm going back and forth on like what is my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers album, but it's up there at least.
Yeah, we were talking about like which one is the most focused one, which one is the most, which one is the best one, because I was reading for Reddit, and it was quite interesting seeing the different categories for stuff. I have to say, I didn't know, but I've actually heard least some of the songs, and maybe 2 to 3 songs of this record, because I'm not a big chili. What is it? Chili head? Or, yeah, isn't that what they're called? But I have listened to more in my where I grew up. My friends did not listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I listened to a couple of albums, like, but didn't like, really delve into it. So I think I've heard a couple of these songs somehow, you know, through the good old days of. 2005, 2006, you know, the good old days of music hunting, as we did.
Also, with that said, this is probably like the record I listened. It's probably one of the records I have listened to the most times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I must say, for my first impressions now, at least as an older man, it was good. I liked it a lot, and I feel like the things we're gonna talk about, like you said on the last episode when we. We're gonna do this. You said it may be unappreciated or like under-evaluated or what you should say. Yeah. And I feel like when I've been delving deep, I feel a lot of Chili Peppers fans or Chili Heads have the same idea. Because I feel like, and me listening a little to them before and now again, this album, I feel like this is underappreciated, I must say. Mm. So yeah, let's get into the album.
Yes. Or
the band.
The band.
So yeah,
the band. Who are the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I will tell you when I open my phone.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a rock band.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, funk rock.
Yeah, trust me, I have a whole, but I mean, okay,
funk rock band.
Okay, you want to get there? Okay, okay, I'll get there.
Let's get there. Let's get this out of the way.
Okay, so it's a band that delve into the musics of hard rock, funk, hip hop, funk metal, rap metal, rap rock, new metal. So yeah, that's kind of what all different sites have said they kind of have for styles.
Yeah, I mean, like they pull from many pieces.
Psychedelic rock, funk, metal, punk rock. I mean, there's a lot, but they pull. They're a slop and rock.
Yeah.
to get back to that old Curtis Harding term.
Yeah.
Slop and rock.
Yeah, I mean, like, but like, they probably have like the most is like punk rock, funk, and good old rock and roll.
Yeah, I agree. But the band nowadays, they've had a lot of lineup changes, and we're not gonna go through everyone. We're gonna go through one for this album. But otherwise, they're normally the vocalist is Anthony Kiedis.
Kiedis.
That's what I thought.
That's usually, I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, Kiedis, Kiedis.
It's kind of what I hear.
Didn't we talk about this like on off air that Kiedis or Kiedis, it's like it feels like a dragon name. Like I've heard it in D&D or something. Don't you like have that feeling?
No.
Okay, I maybe just me.
For me, it always sounds like it doesn't feel like a real name.
Yeah, but it's more like a dragon name.
No, but yeah, I mean.
Then we have the bassist Flea, of course, one of the most prolific bass players you probably can think about. Drummer Chad Smith or Will Ferrell. And normally the guitarist is John Frusciante or Frusciante? Frusciante.
I think it's like a K sound.
Frusciante?
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It's like the Steve Buscemi or Buscemi. Yeah. You know, like, what is it really?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the band, and we want to talk some band history a little, just a small nugget. Like, I always like to what they have accomplished, but do you have like some inside information, or do you want to hear the like, you know, factoids, the normal factoids?
Yeah, you can bring me the factoids.
Okay, so they have sold approximately 77 million records, been streamed on Spotify around 5.624 billion times, so 5,624 billion with a B times. Spotify counts were from September 2019, even, so it's not long ago. They have won 6 Grammy Awards, and in 2012 they were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Which year did you say?
2012.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of cool, and they've impacted music history, or how you want to say, and in Kiedis' words, we were early in creating the combination of hard rock, funk with hip hop style vocals. We became maybe an inspiration to Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, Linkin Park, and all these other bands that are doing it now.
Yeah.
So I feel like even if people haven't listened to Red Hot Chili Peppers, because sometimes the people I tried to introduce them to, it was like a hit or miss, but they have impacted a lot. And some of my friends actually liked Limp Bizkit, but did not like Red Hot Chili Peppers. So kind of, you have to appreciate where it comes from.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, because they are kind of unique in a sense, but they're also like a lot of musicians that I feel can have like picked some small parts from them.
They've also accomplished much more than I thought. I mean, I thought they were big, but not like in the sense of like impacting music or winning Grammys, you know, like that sense, but affecting people and music artists, yes, but not the sense of winning and selling that much.
But like, like Californication, like when it released in 1999, it was a phenomenon.
Y2K.
Yeah, it was awesome. But yeah, so Red Hot Chili Peppers got formed 1983 in L.A. by like
four the City of Angels,
four friends, pretty much got together, and started a band. But we're gonna jump straight onto into 1992, when they had released their like biggest album yet with Blood Sugar Sex and Magic, and they were out on tour, and Jono Frusciante felt kind of pressured by like the newfound fame and all of that.
Why was that, Viking? Why was that?
Do you have why there was that?
We didn't know this. Remember the age gap?
Oh yeah, the age gap. Yeah,
because I read everywhere that he felt pressured, and I thought that was weird. But they were around like 22 or something, the band members, but he himself was 19.
Yeah.
So, except for like personal pressures, I didn't like. Oh, everybody said he took so much burden and like he did so much. Which is kind of crazy, being 19 and being the lead guitarist of such a big band.
Yeah, and also he started his own drug habit and kind of isolating himself from the group around then. But when they were about to start their Japanese leg of the tour in May 1992, he quit the band and he just took off. And they managed to get another guitarist like to fill in and like finish the tour, but in 1993 they were like auditioning countless guitarists and hiring some of them a short while, but they weren't the right fit.
I read that they put out an ad in LA Times, which I thought was so weird because they're one of the biggest, but they're really big at this time, and they're putting out an ad in LA Times. It feels like really like we're telling everybody we're looking for a guitarist, even if they know, but like, and they're publicly announcing it, and also only in the LA Times, not like in a bigger nationwide way. I understand, but I just felt like it was so weird.
Yeah, it's interesting
being so open about it and such.
But they settle on Britain, but they ended up finally with Dave Navarro, formerly of Jane's Addiction.
Also formerly husband to tattoo artist Kat Von D. But not at this time, but still.
Okay.
Wanted to sprinkle that in.
So he joined the band, they got off good the first, I think, and like but they had some like friction in the group, and also I think both Anthony Kiedis and Flea at the time, at least at the beginning of the recordings, were sober.
Yeah.
But Dave Navarro had some addiction left in him.
Yeah. Some left in him. That's one way of putting it.
No, but he was doing some drugs, and that caused very much a friction. And they didn't meld as good as they had with Don. And like Anthony said about this, John had been a true anomaly when it came to songwriting. I just figured that's how all guitar players were. They just showed them your lyric and sang a little bit, and the next thing you knew, you had a song. That didn't happen right off in the bath with Dave.
Yeah, and he had a hard time understanding their process with jamming a lot, which is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was only the personalities, but it feels like when it comes to the funk style of Red Hot Chili Peppers, funk really lends itself to jamming and finding lyrics and chords and stuff and the progressions and rhythms. So and he had a hard time doing that because he was more a heavy metal rock guy in a sense.
Yeah, and I mean like Flea comes from a jazz background and stuff like that. So,
they had some difficulties. Which is leading to this whole phase of the Dave Navarro era, like we were talking about a little earlier, being maybe unappreciated, and also their sound changing a lot. But it's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Also, like, Navarro, went out with a kind of, like, kind of a bad mouthed funk, and like he said, like, I don't care for funk music or jamming. It makes me feel dumb because it's like, and he's like, I don't like music that feels makes me feel dumb.
Yeah, but what was his follow up? If you play with three guys you love, then nothing is like a chore or something. Yeah. So it's like he said something bad, but he tried to save himself.
Yeah, and I mean like they managed to make a record together. So I mean like they had their faults, but I think. But I think in the end, like, they got together and, like, bonded. And also, like, Chad Smith and Dave Navarro have had, like, I think before he joined the band and, like, after, they had a strong connection.
And didn't, like, Flea playing Jane's Addiction for a while? Or was it another band with Dave?
Maybe.
Yeah, I saw something.
Also, Flea and Dave Navarro appeared in Alanis Morissette song. Yeah,
they were some working. Yeah. So they weren't like the worst of friends. It's just maybe not always a good fit.
Yeah,
but the fit
creatively.
Yeah,
but also I love this like quote. I have this unauthorized interview with both Chad Smith and Dave Navarro from like 1 year after One Hot Minute we got released in. And there Chad Smith said he taught Dave Navarro 4 words to getting used with being in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and that was get used to it.
Mm. Kind of true.
Yeah.
Especially because, no offense to Jane's Addiction, they were more an underground, it feels like, or like they impacted music in a sense in their local scene, but Red Hot Chili Peppers were much bigger.
Mm.
So it's also that part of it, I think. I feel like. So yeah.
Yes.
Any more, or are we gonna get into more of the album?
Yeah, let's go get into like the
inner workings of One Hot Minute.
Yeah, the writing process of the record and stuff.
Yeah, Viking. Instead of like on 60 Minutes right now, on One Hot Minute with Viking and Gabriel. On your local Channel 4 News. Dun 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 dun. Or doesn't like 60 Minutes still do that like dun 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 dun? I haven't seen it since I was like 8 or something.
No, that's not 60 Minutes.
No, that's the one like when he... I know the show that you like to watch. Where he's like, today on that show where he's like, one young woman had a man that murdered her. Isn't that the one?
It's more like... That's more like...
We're really going off topic.
Oh my god, it's I don't know. But you know the trench, but that's more like.
But you know the trench coat guy. Flash. Yeah, but you know the trench coat guy.
You're thinking about unexpected. No,
I was gonna say Alex Trebek, but it's not Alex Trebek.
No, it's Robert Flack, and it's Unexplained Mysteries.
Yeah, Unexplained Mysteries. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. That's wondering. So back to One Hot Minute instead.
Yes.
So. Do you want to talk about who was on the record? Of course, we talked about.
Yeah, so the one singing is Anthony Kiedis.
Kiedis.
He sings on all the tracks except one, and he has written all the tracks except one. Yeah, and then we have Flea on bass.
Flea.
And we have Chad Smith on drums.
Chad Smith. I'm doing them all in Swedish now.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a bit. I go with the bit.
And then we have Dave Navarro on
Dave Navarro. Guitar. Guitar.
So apparently, Flea had worked up a working title for this album that was The Doom Prolongers.
Nice album name.
Yeah, it would have been a great.
They prolonged the doom. We have a lot of other people that did other stuff, but if we talk about that musical instrument, I have it here, a whole list, like the violin. If we talk about it, we'll come to it. It's not that we don't like people and want to give them their credit, but we have a show to do.
Yeah, so also it's gonna be very boring if we just sit and
listen. And we have some mixing and mastering and producers. I feel like we have to talk about a certain famous man for good and worse.
Are we gonna get?
No, I'm just talking about Rick Rubin. Yeah, that he produced it. We're not have to get into it all now. We can get into it a little later.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he produced this.
But okay, let's start with the writing process then.
Yes, how did they write these songs?
So they thought a change of scene would be good, so they rented a farm on Hawaii. Because I mean, like,
that's such a weird. Just the words "farm," Hawaii. Hawaii is an island. It feels very hard to picture a farm in Hawaii for somebody from Sweden. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
For our media from Hawaii is always like picturesque.
But yeah. It was quite a change from their small apartments in LA to a bigger grandiose. And they kind of like at the beginning got very distracted, like. And they didn't get the recording because they were like just jumping from cliffs and
surfing. Kalbanga, dude.
Yeah, doing other stuff. But when they started jamming, there were this like disconnect. Anthony also described it like they were not like telepathically linked in the same way. Like as the previous constellation
were. Yeah, or you and me.
You and me.
Like, what am I thinking about now?
Porn.
Hamburgers.
God damn it.
Kind of close, though. Maybe.
So the process was slow and wavering, and some of the also kind of got credited as. Like the reason why it was hard getting started recording this writing this album was they had a lot of pressure, like at least subconsciously they had a lot of pressure,
but from probably also from the outside following up with such an amazing album as before.
So they had that because like Blood Sugar Sex and Magic was such a big hit, and like how could they follow up to it? Also, during this trip, they got the word that Kurt Cobain had killed himself.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're gonna... I just wanted to preface this at the top. I didn't know you were gonna get into it now, even. So, I just want to preface this for people who have maybe, trauma or traumatic events. We're gonna talk about deaths and suicides and stuff like that in this episode. If I knew you would have gotten into it now, I would have said earlier. I can also edit this in somewhere else, so it's fine. But I just wanted to preface that because I've listened to other podcasts and they talked about that, and I just felt like we should do our due. It's not always the easiest to talk about for everybody, but this album has some sweet, wonderful songs about these subjects, so I feel like if you haven't given this album a chance, don't be off-put by those subjects. I feel like you would really like those songs. Keep on going.
So that's also another thing that kind of brought down the mood of the record, or the writing process. And
yeah, understandable.
And got halted. But in the end, they got back from that trip with 10 songs. And went pretty much straight into recording with Rick Rubin, the producer. Also, during this time, there were a documentary being they tried to get recorded. Because when they recorded Blood Sugar Sex and Magic, they did a documentary called Funky Monks.
Yeah.
And that became like a documentary, like chronicling the process of doing that album. And they tried to do the same here. And they were trying to call it Deep Kicks after the song from this album. But it got cancelled. Some believe it's like from the strain between Dave Navarro and the rest of the band. But also, like, there's some say, like, they didn't get any good footage or stuff like that. Like,
and there's only some footage that you can find on the internet. One has been spliced into a music video and stuff.
Yeah, so there's, like, three sources. Like, there's two like leaked footage from this documentary, and there's also in the music video for My Friends, there's also some footage from this documentary, the first like is like just very like edited film from like photo shoots and stuff, set to Waiting for the Man by Velvet Underground and Nico. And the second clip is a very weird, like it
looks like you would picture. Okay, I'll draw up a scene, a small scene.
Yeah.
So it's like a southern pastor speaking to a congregation of people and trying to get them to see the light. But this is maybe another religion that Anthony has concocted himself. So it seems trying to get the one he's talking about to image the real religion and probably speaking about our problems in society about that today. I would feel like there's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's like...
That's my theory, at least.
The thing I've written down is Anthony acts as a cowboy preacher for the Church of Sunlight Energy.
Yeah, Sunlight Energy, that's what it is.
Which is kind of a religion about, like, God is fruits.
Can I also say...
You should eat fruit.
Can I also say that if you only listen to the Church of Sunlight Energy, it sounds like that those people who go outside and sunbathe their assholes for, like, 10 minutes to get supercharged, it feels like that's their church. No offense to those people who do that. I'm just saying that's what it sounds like to me. Also, why do you sunbathe your asshole to the sun? It makes no sense. So we're gonna whisper on to the next thing. What's the next thing, Viking?
Next thing is back to the Rick Rubin stuff.
Back to the Rick Rubin stuff?
Yeah. They had gotten Rick Rubin on for producing Blood Sugar Sex and Magic, and they also produced this, and he produced a total of 6 Red Hot Chili Peppers albums.
For good and worse.
And until they changed producer in 2014 for their latest... The Getaway, I think the latest record they released is called. But who is Rick Rubin, you ask?
Well, he's a guy.
Yeah.
Why is he famous? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Tell me a story.
He's called Rick Rubin, also known as when he DJs as DJ RR the Loudness King.
And why is he called the Loudness King, I wonder.
Yeah.
So, Viking, do you like vinyl?
I like vinyl.
Gabriel, do you like vinyl? Yes, of course I do.
Okay.
Why is this important to the loudness thing? Well, isn't it not so, Viking, that during a time when they did recordings for vinyl, they did something called the Loudness War? And I don't know if it was only... I've listened to a lot of vinyl stuff, like vinyl research, and it comes up there. It's probably all the music, like radio and stuff too.
Mm.
Recording, in a sense.
Yeah, it's about the recording.
Yeah, the recording process.
Or more like the mixing, I would say.
Yeah. And why is the... In short, the loudness war was...
People like to play music loud, so they pumped up the volume on everything.
Yeah, on the records. So when you listen to stuff from that era, you kind of need... a really good setup, and you really to listen to everything so loud it hurts your brain because it's unnecessary loud.
Yeah.
The mixing is Spinal Tap-esque up to 11 times 20 more.
Yeah.
20 more 11s. So that's why he's known as the Loudness King, and this is a whole interesting thing.
The Loudness King is part of his DJ name.
Yeah, but I mean, that feels like, because he's one of the forerunners of the Loudness War.
Yeah.
He really, like, put it up, and there's a lot of other bands he's worked with where he just took their sound and just bumped it up to 11.
Yeah, so he's a very, like...
prolific person.
Yeah, he's a prolific. Like, he started out as... kind of co-founding the small record label Def Jam Record, really recordings.
Never heard of it. Not famous at all.
And he like has and has also been co-president of Columbia Records.
Never heard of it.
No, nothing. nothing makes sense. Yeah. But he's kind of like credited as one of the driving force to help like popularize hip hop.
Yeah.
Or hip hip, as I've written in my notes.
Hip hip. Yeah. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hurrah, hurrah.
But he worked with like artists like Beastie Boys, Run DMC, Danzig, Slayer, Johnny Cash, Kanye West, Kanye West. Yeah, and Eminem.
Do you know something funny? Actually, I tried to go. Tell me.
And most importantly, a record I also had at my top 10 for 2019. He worked at the Book of Traps and Lessons by Kate Tempest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the funny thing I was gonna say is I tried to delve into Kanye West's old stuff, but everything I tried to listen, the mixing sounded weird.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I'm
not saying that Rick Rubin hasn't impacted music. He has done a lot for it, but it also is like a double-edged sword. Yeah. It's for good and bad.
Yeah, and it's like the later years he's been getting criticized, like doing the unnecessary loud mixing and like a lot of compressed audio stuff, and also like not being even present during actual recordings of the records, like
just getting his check and putting his name on it.
Yeah, there's a story about like a Slipknot album that got recorded with his name on it. He only met the singer the singer of the band 6 times.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like.
And I think when I listened to Slipknot, both of these albums that one person talked on YouTube, that was like pre him and after him, I actually listened to, and the one pre him, I listened to more. But yeah. Anything else about Rick Rubin? We're talking about him, but he is interesting and important also to their history and a lot of history.
Yes, he seems like a very interesting character, and I think you could make like a whole episode on Rick Rubin.
That's kind of why I'm trying to save some in the bag, because I feel like I want to talk about this whole era of music that we're talking about a little now. So yeah, we got anything else except Rick Rubin on the personnel that's important? Were we talking about the album artwork a little, or the design? Weren't you saying something that you wanted to talk about it? Because it was similar to other artwork from before that we've seen, right? From the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know if it's the same artwork person.
I haven't checked.
I only found the name of Mark Ryden for the album artwork, but I just like this Betty Boop style that we talked about maybe on the last episode of the podcast, how it looks. I like that style.
It has a nice artwork.
Yes. Are we ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Okay. I wrote this down. I don't think I'm going to take it. I'm going to just skim through it.
I can't even read what
it is. Oh, that's good. It's a fan comment. I wanted to see if there was other fans of Red Hot Chili Peppers that shared your feelings that this is underappreciated.
Mm.
Do you want to hear it, or do you want me to pass it by? Are you interested in knowing that you're not alone?
Well, I'm always right. So yeah, I mean, like,
we're fine. What's the X-Files? We're not alone? Is that it?
No,
there's something out there.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Yeah. God, my brain is not working today. I just want to say I came out of a 4-day migraine.
I want to believe, isn't it?
I don't know. Google if you want.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to say my brain is not working because I've been in a 4-day migraine. This is my first day really out of it. So if my brain is not working entirely, there's your excuse, but also the truth. It kind of rhymes. So yeah, I'm going to go and get into songs. I'm going to get into the first song.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
There was also like, I want to believe it's like the poster with the UFO.
Yeah, that's it. Classic from we like X-Files, but we also like this first song on 1.5 minute, which is Warped. Segway.
I just get struck by somebody remade the X-Files motto with the babes are out there.
Okay, so Warped is the first song on 1.5 minute. So this song is talking about, or Anthony talking about his drug use.
Yeah.
and maybe the others drug use, but mostly himself. Mm. And there are a lot of lyrics that really stand out for this, I feel like.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was sober for a while, and then he got into a strong addiction or a curve, or what's it called? Like a point in his time again when recording, when he was doing drugs again. So, I mean, for all rock bands, drugs are always very prolific. But when we were researching, I found like he was in sobriety and then came out, and a lot of the other bands too.
Yeah.
The band members, like, I mean. So, yeah, but like the lyrics, my tendency for dependency is offending me. Mm. It's upending me. I'm pretending to be strong and free from my dependency. It's warping me, which is kind of the chorus, which is just amazing. And especially that it's being distorted in the singing, which I just love. Like that distortion effect. It's really good. Mm. I have some more lyrics that I want to talk about, but I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to tell me about the song. Okay. Is there anything you want to talk about before I jump into more lyrics?
I really like the song, like for the things you mentioned already. But also, like, the thing, like, with this song that's kind of, I find incredible, is, like, I think you don't really notice in Red Hot Chili Peppers album most of the times, because it's the drums. Because it's usually not the most prominent instrument.
Yeah, it's mostly like it feels like bass and guitar and singing.
Yeah, and like there's some like have drums, but they're not like in main stage. But here on this track, I really think like the drumming is incredible. And
I also feel like Chad Smith, he's a good balance. I mean, like, it depends on how every instrument and every musician is, but Chad Smith, how he plays the drums, he's always a good balance and like between everything on this album and other I've heard.
He's an incredible drummer, and he should get more space, I think, in the song.
But I feel like also he is just the ultimate team player, and I like people like that, because that's sometimes what I strive to be. Like, sometimes you don't want to take the spotlight, but you don't want to be outside. You just want to be one of the guys, or one of the people, sorry.
Yeah, and also like it's kind of funny, because there's like, through the Red Hot Chili Pepper, like the whole way through, there's always been drama and stuff. But I think Chad Smith is like the last standing bastion of like,
normalcy.
I never heard like something he done like negatively or like something like
that. Yeah, he's a family man.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I really like this song also for when it comes to the music, the guitar riff, because it's Dave Navarro. They're more heavy than they would probably be if John was still there. They have this like really heavy undertone, and like I said, with those like distortion effects or like echoing vocals, it's really good. These lyrics were also amazing. Descended from demented men, struggle with the art of Zen. Please don't look too close at me, you might not like what you see. I just love it. Also, it's a very easy but awesome rhyme scheme Andy kind of writes, and I just love it. And just like this part of demented men struggle with the art of Zen, like I really love that, because when I was younger I used to meditate and stuff, so and read up a lot about this, you know, meditation, Zen, all that.
Yeah, we all know that it's just demented men who meditate.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, my brain broke. We're going to get to, I think, and I'm going to spoil this now, I think this is Viking's favorite song, Aeroplane, the second song on the album.
Maybe you're wrong.
No, maybe I'm right. We'll see at the end of this.
Yeah, we'll see. But this at least is a song that I can talk more about this, but like the lyrics of this album is ingrained in me, but especially this song, like
Viking. I'm supposed to talk about the lyrics. Bad Viking. Bad. I'm just joking. Yeah. Okay. I I haven't listened to it as much as you, but I kind of agree. They're really stuck in you, aren't they?
Yeah. And I mean, like, and this is a really singable song, and it's a song that's fun to sing along with.
Yeah, you shouldn't be in the room when we do this, but you can sing along by yourself and try to not listen to us while we sing along.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're enclosed in a small room together. It's because we're not supposed to offend someone else with our singing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's our quarantine.
Kind of. I almost was able to hold one note for a couple of seconds, and then it broke amazingly and hurt my own ears.
Yeah.
But talking about the lyrics, like, again, looking into my eyes, I can't find the love. I want someone better slap me before I start to rust, before I start to decompose. It's just amazing. I love those lyrics. It feels like... this song, I mean, this is also going on with the whole drug thing, like music is his aeroplane, that it's supposed to take him high up and give him that high, but it's music instead, which is his life and their love, which is just amazing. I was also funny to see that there are children singing in this song, and I found out that it seems to be a combination of Flea's daughter, Clara, and the kindergarten class that she goes to, and some children from the band's lawyer, Eric Greenspan, singing the backup vocals. I don't think it's the same children in the music video, but you never know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't check that one out. No. The music video is really fun. Yeah. Oh, also, before I even forgot about this, Warped, the music video.
Yeah.
If you want something just to blow your mind and like ask like why, watch all the music videos. But really, Warped is, whoo, baby. So yeah, I like Aeroplane. It's really good. It's really catchy. It feels like almost their their poppiest song. You know, it was meant to play on the radio, almost, in a sense. Like, the other songs are not radio-friendly in that sense of Aeroplane is really, like, very poppy. So, yeah. You want to go into the third song?
Yeah, the end of a trilogy, I must say. It really feels like the three first song on this album is kind of like a small trilogy.
Yeah, because they lead into each other, right?
Yeah. They lead into each other very well, and they have a kind of like a feeling of an arc, like telling the story of like their relation to like where they came from, like the relation with drugs and the relation with music, and it's interesting.
I love this song, but also it drove me insane. So I'm gonna get into this soon, but I love the spoken words style of the song.
Yeah.
And the whispering, which I'll get to soon. But also, I wrote the bass drop. Not the bass drop. The bass drop in the song is amazing. Because that's what it is. But, I'm going to get through everything that does not drive me insane. And then I'm going to get to why it drove me insane. I really love the bass or the bass because it pumps up the song a lot. Really love the second half. I love the whole song, but really the second half is awesome when it gets pumped up. The guitar is really cool. It's like it has that edgier style to it again, and the drums layered on top. But the whispering Viking.
Yeah. Whispers.
Do you know why they drove me insane?
Because you couldn't hear what they're saying, and you wanted to know what they were saying.
So in Deep Kick, Flea, which I think it is, and maybe Dave Navarro at the point.
Yeah.
Are whispering behind Antti Nikaida's spoken word, which there's no lyrics at all anywhere in the world, as far as I could find. And I looked a long time for these whispers.
Yeah.
So
you're the first in the world to crack this case wide open.
Kinda. No, I'm not trying to pat my own shoulder, but I couldn't find anything. And the only thing I could find was a little wrong, actually. So Flea whispers in the beginning, my childhood, because he's talking about their childhood. Yeah. And then it's probably Dave whispering the freaks could be so weird if only the freaks could unite it. Can't unite everything that's dot, dot, dot. The last word I couldn't hear. So if the freaks could be so weird, if the freaks could only unite it.
Yeah.
Can't unite everything that's dot, dot, dot. The last thing I can't hear because Antinikaitis went up in his spoken word and Dave was whispering behind it, so I couldn't hear. So, yeah. And the only thing I could find on the internet was can't the French unite it, but it's the freaks. And trust me, I listened to it too many times to know it's the freaks, not the French. I'm not crazy. The voices, they're telling me to kill Viking.
Of course.
So what do you think about the song, Viking? The voices are asking me to ask you what you thought about the song.
Better be good. Yeah. I love this song. It has a very like...
I love the spoken word.
Yeah, and it really paints like a very interesting, almost ominous image of like the LA, like day growing up in LA, and it's very, very nice. Also, this have like a fun.
It's very intimate. Also, I would say.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like especially begins slower paced and builds up, so it really gets you in and pumped up. Yeah. So good.
And this is like the most experimental they get on this album, and also like almost like of all their albums.
Talking about the childhood thing, my childhood. Yeah. You read both books, right, of Flea and Antinikaitis?
Yes.
Did you find anything in your brain that's from the song that like, oh, that's from the book, or they did this?
Yeah, they're referencing like them jumping off from rooftops into
swimming pools. I've always wanted to do that when I was younger, but not now. I feel like it would break something.
Yeah, but, and that's what happened to Antinikaitis. Yeah. That's why he has a broken back. It's because he jumped off a roof and landed beside the pool.
Yeah, and in both
Fleece and like Anthony's memoirs, they tell the story, and it's very interesting. Like they jumping and like he's just landed and like couldn't move, like he was standing,
poor baby, couldn't move. But he can move now, and he even went to do backflips on stage and breaking more stuff. He knows how to live life.
Also, he got into like kind of look like Iggy Pop more, so I mean, it all worked out for him.
Yeah, it all worked out. So yeah, you got anything else to say about?
There's a fun little sample / interpolation / bullshit references, I call it. I hate who sampled sometimes because they have some weird like definitions of what kind of samples it is, and it's weird.
You can get constitutes a sample even sometimes.
Yeah, but there's a line in the song that says, "But the butthole surface said it's better to regret something you did than something you didn't do," and that's a reference to a song by the butthole surfers called "Sweet Loaf," where they do that, and then. They say that and like then talk about Satan and stuff. Also,
my childhood.
Yeah, and
I couldn't. The voices they told me to.
Also, it's kind of funny because "Sweet Loaf" is a reference to a Black Sabbath song, "Sweet Leaf."
And.
Then who has written about that song is Jan Darnielle. So it all goes all full circle.
Yeah, it's kind of how music works a lot. Everything impacts something else.
Yeah.
You want to talk about My Friends?
Yes.
Me, My Friends, and I. No, the fourth song on this album, My Friends, which is... oh my god, I lost my train of thought. Sometimes it happens. This is a song I think I've heard before, like I was talking about. I feel like every time I listen to it, I really like recognize it.
Yeah.
And I try to place myself, like do the whole nostalgia trip, or like you know, think yourself back.
Time travel, you know.
Yeah, inside your brain. Or like lucid dream awake, which I do sometimes. The whole thing. I am the Matrix boy sometimes.
Yes.
But I couldn't really place myself. I could only like remember me in my bedroom listening to the song. I feel like. So probably on a CD maybe I did. Or the radio.
But yeah, for some reason, I think this was their biggest hit. Biggest hit.
Biggest hit.
It's a biggest hit.
Yeah, it hit bigots. Biggest hit.
Yeah, their biggest hits from this album. So
yeah, maybe.
So I mean, it kind of makes sense that this is the song you heard.
Yeah, I feel like this and Aeroplane would be the biggest, maybe. I like the chill vibes from this song. It's really sweet and moving, and the thought of the impact like that your friends have on your life is really important, I feel like, and how Anthony just sings it. It's very beautiful and very intimate. I feel like it's very nice, it's like love letter to his best friends and his co-workers.
Yeah, also like this, like
his family in a sense.
This feeling of like my friends are going through some shit right now. Let's write about it.
Yeah. Well, most of his friends, Chad Smith didn't have.
No, but Chad Smith is special.
Did you write that down, that quote that you found? Like, Anthony was going for drugs, Flea was going for drugs, Dave Newman was going for, and Chad Smith had a car trouble or something.
No.
What was it?
It was that he had recorded like his drum parts 6 months before getting recording.
Yeah, that's it. So like everybody else was on drugs, almost dying, and Chad Smith was waiting because he had already recorded his drums. Like, poor Chad. Oh,
it's so funny.
I mean, I'm not. It's kind of fun because like everybody was going through some shit. Yeah. Also, Chad. That's what we were talking about. Like, he's such a normal person. Honestly, I love it. Oh my god. You want to say something about my friends? They're my friends, not your friends.
Also, like, this song kind of like, kind of feels like they're trying to capture Under the Bridge again, like on this album.
Is that a song from another album?
Oh my god, I'm gonna smack you in the face so hard right
but
now.
But I don't know. Also, I'm very bad with names. Even when we listen to like other albums, I can't remember the name, but I can remember the song, how it goes sometimes.
So if you take the biggest Red Hot Chili Peppers song ever,
California Cave,
and smack it up on your hand.
I'll listen to it later. I'll probably recognize it.
Yeah, you know the song.
Yeah. Sometimes that's a problem with my brain. I have to hear stuff.
But that was the biggest hit from like Blood Sugar Sex and Magic.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like they're recapturing that essence again in this song, for better and worse, I think.
Okay, so yeah, we're gonna go to the coffee shop.
Yeah, speaking of Iggy Pop.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the coffee shop. I was only thinking, I'm trying to see if I could do a reference to Friends, but what's it? Central Perk. We're gonna go to Central Perk.
Yeah.
I love the bass playing from the bass player known as Flea in this song. I love it.
Yes.
The distortion also, again, with the voice. Every time there's a distortion in a song, especially on the voice, it gets me hooked. I love it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Anthony does this song. Like, he is the song.
He is the song. He has become song.
No, but he has this like incredible, weird, like singing on this track that like really brings out. But always also in my mind, like when I always think back to this album and this song, I for some reason always imagine it being an acoustic track.
Yeah, that's. I don't know.
And it's weird.
I haven't listened to that much, but I can understand.
It's really like the.
I feel like this is a typical what people think is a Red Hot Chili Pepper song. It's so funky.
Yeah, it's really like the other way around, and I love how it like culminates in our like bass guitar discordant solo kind of thing, and like.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good.
It has a really nice outro, and if you're done, we go over to P.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna say.
Which is the Celtic song? So that's maybe why I.
Yeah, I also want to say it's spelled P-E-A as a P that you can eat, not P that you do with your body. Maybe it should be prefaced.
Okay.
That you said we should go pee, so.
Yeah, well, you always have to pee.
Yeah, I know. I drink a lot of water that people can hear. This, I was trying to think, like, I haven't listened to them as much, but I tried to feel like, is there other songs that I can remember where Anthony doesn't sing as much, or the other member sings more or loudly? And they were like, I couldn't think of any, because this is where P is sung by Flea.
Yeah, the bass is sung and played by Flea. Yeah. I guess, like, everything on this recording is only Flea.
Yeah, and this is one of the only songs they play live anymore from this album. And that's a whole thing we can take when we get to the end, actually. I want to talk about that. But I love that this is about Flea's feeling small or, like, little in the world.
Yeah.
In the sense that... you know, stuff beats you down, and like talking about his childhood, like bullies and stuff pushing him down, but and being small, but still, even though there's negative aspects in the song, I feel like the whole thing about everything that affects you turns you to the person you're meant to be, in a sense, because like there was a story that I read about, like, I don't remember if it was Anthony or maybe it was, but like talking about, yeah, we can go beat them up, those bullies that hurt you. And it's like, let's not do that. And I feel like that aspect of being zen and peaceful, I can recognize from a young age, and not wanting to fight.
Yeah, it's really like he mentioned it in the song, but it really is a pacifism song. Like it's about pacifism. At least for me, it's about pacifism.
When I was young, I used to be bullied, and I got into fights, but I tried for a long while, actually, not to hit back.
Mm.
It was a couple of times I remember getting hit in the face and starting bleeding. I'm like, no, I'm not going to punch you back.
Mm.
And if you can really, when you've lived through that, like I have, I feel like you can really feel the power of the song so much, and I love it. And I also love that, like, he talks about, I don't remember if it was an interview or the song, like, also just feeling small in the world and the nature around you. That's in the song, right?
Yeah.
And I also like feeling that's something we're getting back to a lot with the climate issues and caring about Mother Nature a lot, and just that aspect, which is really nice in the sense that this song still has impact.
Yeah.
And that's nature sense and the pacifism sense. Yeah.
It's so interesting because this song really feels like a B-side. That it feels like a song that would be cut from a normal album.
Yeah, how many songs are normally on a side? Is it six or eight?
Now I'm talking about B-side. That's like
I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's for about a friend. Six songs, depending on how long they are.
Yeah, I think so. This would be like if you just think about what an A-side is on the end.
Yeah,
but I get you. What you're talking about, the feeling of it.
It makes me really happy that like they give space to this, because it's not really like lyrically, it's not really what they usually do, and like also like musically. So it's kind of fun that they let Flea do this.
Yeah, but it also it's a very good like thing, because we went from coffee shop that I feel is very funky and upbeat, and then we go to something slow, and the next song is gonna be very upbeat again. Yeah. So it's also a good pause. Yeah. Why am I saying it in Swedish?
Yeah.
Pause in the middle of the album, which is very nice too, to be honest.
Mm.
So I feel like it was good that they got everybody out out of the studio so he could have his alone time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, my parents really loved that I blasted this song loud and sang, sang along with it.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah.
Because it's a pacifist song.
Yeah. It has no bad words in it.
No, not at all. It's only about good vibes, everybody. Yeah, he swears a lot.
Yeah, but it's great, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, and we're gonna go over to the next one.
I am you, are me.
I'm me, you are us.
Yes.
I didn't. So we're talking about One Big Mob, and Viking kind of sung, I would say, the chorus or like the hook of the song that you just want to sing along when you hear it and you get it.
Or you maybe can say Ek Bara Mela.
Yeah, Ek Bara Mela.
Mela.
Yeah, which according to Genius is loosely translated Hindi for I am, you are me. But
no.
Or no, like...
One Big Mob.
Sorry, One Big Mob. My brain broke. But I couldn't re-translate that from Hindi or or any other language on Google Translate. But
because like...
There's different dialects and shit also.
Yeah, because it's like... It's, I don't think it's like... It's very like interpreted as One Big Mob. Because I think it literally means like one ring or something like that.
Yeah, like one. Or it could be like, my God, it would could be like one ring of people or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, But I think I've read someone put it into Google Translate, and I think they got out like one ring, something like that.
I get you. One ring to rule them all.
Yeah. It's weird. I got the whole, like, the passage from...
from three words in Hindi, we got the whole Lothar thing. And showing that Antikythus is a big, big Lords of the Ring fan. So, yeah, this song is really funny to sing to, and it's really, like, catchy. But the song itself is kind of weird. In the meaning of the song, I would say. I feel like it's weird.
Well, I mean, like...
You want to get it on?
I mean, there's lots of, like... What does this song mean?
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. I felt that it's about sexy times. You know, getting some bam bam chicka, but also...
As Anthony has said many times before, sex is my greatest inspiration.
Yeah, but also in the song, he's talking about getting a baby, having one big happy family, one big mob, and sometimes in the songs there's a crying baby also, so like the lives of having a family. But the weird thing is he didn't have any babies, I hope, I couldn't find any. Babies. I searched for babies, but I couldn't find any.
People dream of babies all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about this like until we're talking now. But I talked about the curve of this song, because it starts out really loud and it goes down slow in the middle.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that now too.
Yeah, and goes loud at them.
And I really like that. It's like that.
Yeah, and I kind of like that, like in the sense of like, you have sex.
Yeah, slows down.
And then you like, it slows down, and you have a baby, and then you have sex again.
Yeah, that's why I wrote it's fast paced, slows down, builds up, and ends in a fade out. And the fade out is of course death, probably most of the times. It's better to burn out than fade away.
Or ejaculation.
Okay, be dirty. So there's a reference in this song, by the way, talking about switching stuff. So like in the song, what reference did you find? I found a little reference called That Boy Named Sue.
Oh, yeah.
The Johnny Cash reference. Yeah. I just want to talk about that because I love Johnny Cash. And just thought it was fun. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to go on a walkabout now.
Yeah.
Let's go on a walkabout on the number 8 song, Walkabout. Yeah. What is a walkabout, Viking?
It's
do you want me to tell you?
Walkabout.
Okay.
No, I know what a walkabout is.
Okay, tell me, because I have it in my notes what it is.
Okay. And then you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, good.
But it's kind of like a spiritual, like, get to know yourself kind of trip you do. Mostly in the Australias.
Yeah. A walkabout is a transactional... I'm just joking. Transitional. I actually wrote transactional journey. Transitional journey taken by normally Aborigines in Australia to find enlightenment and their place in the world. So yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah, but it's become like a thing. I mean, like
It was first taken by Aborigines and it's their traditions. Yeah, but some people in Africa also do this.
Yeah, I mean like... a lot of culture has this, like
Indians too, spirit walk, dream walking.
Yeah, like you, but like this thing, like of like you need to make a trip to like grow up and like become your person. I mean, even the Amish has it.
Yeah, the Amish.
The Amish.
Yeah, where they can go do all the drinks and drugs they want and come back if they choose to. I remember when the TV show was up. Their trip thingy. You would have to Google it.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, it has a good name.
Yeah, but I remember there was a TV show on telly about following Amish that came out and did that, or came to the city. And it was like a whole, what's it called? Reality show, but like the real world kind of esque. And it was so weird and fun to watch.
Rumspringer.
Yeah, a Rumspringer. That's it. What's it called? Yeah. But we're not doing that today. We're just chilling with this episode. Talking about the song, I really like the lyrics of the song and the rhyming in the song again, like how Anthony writes and rhymes.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's a good song.
And I mean, this song is it's really simple because it's like, I don't remember like where this lands, if because he talks about this in his biography that he had the urge to do a walkabout, a long time, and I don't know, and he finally did it, but I don't know if it was like. Before or after this record, but this song is pretty much about he wants to do a walkabout.
I want to do a walkabout. So my walkabout is gonna be to my couch after I put on some vinyl records and have a book in my hand. Do you feel like that's a okay walkabout? I walked about in my house.
Well, you won't learn much about yourself, I would say.
I found myself listening to music, and then I found my place in the world. So, yeah. You want to go to the ninth song?
Yeah, it's time to cry. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah. What's this song about, Viking?
Well, it's about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, so yet again, if you don't want to listen to this subject, you can skip ahead a little if you want, but I urge you to listen and explore the boundaries of what you think is possible, because sometimes I have a hard time talking or listening to these subjects, and at the end of this album, I cried a little, but it was also, what do you call it? A catharsis. Catharsis?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good for my soul. So yeah, talk to me about Kurt Cobain, which I need to learn more.
Yeah, we talked already about like when they were in Hawaii writing this album, they got the call that Kurt Cobain had taken his own life. And that same night, Anthony sat down, like he pretty much like went to his room and locked it up, as he explains it, and like wrote this song. And it's pretty much like it's a ode to Kurt Cobain. And it like talks about, and it like, but what's kind of beautiful about it is like it's not like explained. It took me like until reading his biography, like 10 years after I first heard his album, to understand that like
the lyrics or the meaning.
Yeah, to understand this is a song about Kurt Cobain.
I get you.
Because yet again, like when I was a young bug, we barely had the internet, and you didn't look up this kind of stuff. And
yeah, but he doesn't say any certain names stuff.
And
so
he talks about like someone in a dress, and you like stereotypically, your brain goes to
a woman.
A woman.
Yeah, especially when you're young and you're conformed that way in society.
Yeah, it really is about like him first meeting Kurt Cobain, because when he was meeting him, he was sitting backstage in a dress.
Yeah, and also like the talking about his skin and his tired eyes or stuff like that. And it's just a wonderful way of painting somebody, but also saying that they were genuine. And in a sense, even though he did later commit suicide, he was still like in a sense full of life and love to people around him. And he wanted to contribute in a sense and just get his music out there. I feel like as a part of the story, but also just how he pictured and or painted a picture around Kurt Cobain in that dress, and that it's really lovely. And I feel like when you watch certain movies, especially like biopics, they have that lighting in, like let's talk about Little Fast, like the Elton John movie, when they like just look at Taron Egerton playing Elton John, when he's just thinking, there's a certain lighting on him. He looks sad, but also like contemplating his life, and there's something beautiful around that. And I feel like he paints that picture, so it's very like I can see it in a movie. So it's a really good lyrics, really lovely story that he paints. It's really bittersweet song. I love it in that sense, but it is, yeah. This didn't get me to cry because I don't know enough Kurt Cobain, because Nirvana hasn't really affected my life in the sense that other people, but I do understand that other people have that. Like, for me, the last song got me to cry. So if this would be the same, I would cry like a baby when I heard it. And probably in the future, when I get to listen to more Nirvana, learn more about Kurt Cobain, I probably get there, man.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he had a big impact on music. So yeah, you want to go to the next song?
Yeah.
So the next song is the number 10th song. And this is the title track, One Hot Minute. And I feel like this is such... We've been talking about this a little with John Darnielle and some other music before and after, mostly after, I feel like. The whole aspect of where the songs are placed with the A and B side, where the title track is placed sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, it's so weird for me to see the title track on the B side. And also for me, this title track feels like a filler song. I feel like this song is a B-side that you were talking about, like, that shouldn't get on the album.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Because it's kind of weak, and it's so weird to me, because I could hardly remember the song in my head, but it's the title track. It's so weird. And it's not a single also of the album, which is also weird.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because I always, for some reason, I always... like get this song and My Friends like
confused. I can't even remember how this one sounds, but My Friends I can remember.
but it's mostly because he's singing me and my friends.
He's saying the words. Yeah, I get you.
And like my brain goes like, oh, this isn't the My Friends song. Anyways, but the thing you remember from this is the intro, I think.
I can't remember.
I like this intro because it's like a little weird. Because it sounds like Dave Navarro playing a guitar badly on purpose, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I can remember. I'm not joking. I can't remember the song. The other songs we talked about, some of them, like, I can remember without hearing the music. Yeah. And like when you said My Friends, I had to think like, oh yeah, that's how it goes. I can't remember how this one sounds at all.
But like there's like 20 seconds like about of him like going like pling pling.
I get
and
you.
And doing it, it badly.
You're giving me Vietnam flashbacks to the interview where I saw him for 30 minutes talk about how he plays guitar for this album, which was...
Did they talk about this intro?
My God, it was horrible, but also interesting at the same point. Dave Navarro is an interesting person, but also not, in a sense. I'll say that much. You want to go into
Wait until we cover Jane's Addiction.
Yeah. You want to go into the next song, Falling into Grace? Following into Pieces. This is my last resort.
Yeah.
Suffocation. No, that's...
No Graces.
Yeah, that's another song. So Falling into Grace.
It's a hell of a funky song.
Yeah. And this is talking about... it's talking about a certain yoga teacher. Her name is Gurumu. And she's famous for prenatal yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So again, with the baby stuff. I don't really know why he's talking about Gurumu. And I also actually feel like this is a filler song too.
I like I like this more this song more than
One Hot Minute.
Yeah,
I would agree. This is more funky. This sticks in my brain, like how he sings "Guru Mu."
Yeah.
It sounds funny, but it's also not important.
But what I really like about this song is like what they do with the bass here, and like the effects they put on the bass. It sounds really good.
I remember this song at least. Yeah,
And I think the chorus is kind of like catchy, like.
Yeah. But I get you, but I still would say it's a filler song.
But I would agree, like 100 minutes and Falling Into Grace is the weakest song.
But also it gets us to where we want to be at the end of the album, like getting in good songs again. So I mean, it's sad that like it feels like they had to cut out other songs that maybe were better. You don't know, but I mean we've done a good ride, and like these last two songs bring it home for me, I feel like. So you want to talk about Shallow Be Thy Game? Shallow Be Thy Game. It's always like you want to say the other thing, you know, hallowed be their name, but it's Shallow Be Thy Game.
I think this is one of like the best writing Anthony Kiedis does on
the lyrics.
On this record at least, like almost on like all his records. I really like their like what's the line now again?
I have a line here.
Yeah.
Do you think it's this one?
Yeah, I hope it is.
To anyone who's listening, you're not born into sin. Mm. The guilt they try to give you, puke it in the nearest bin.
Yes.
Exactly. I knew this was I knew it. We know, see, we can read each other's minds, like I told you. It's an amazing lyric. It's so good. And the bass is powerful, the drums is so well balanced, and that and this feels so much like a heavy rock song or like heavy metal song or what you want to say, from them, instead of like that funky aspect. And I feel like this is maybe a little due to Dave Navarro being in the band at this moment. It feels like it has that edge to it, which I like a lot. Are you checking out some more lyrics?
Yeah, there's a...
To anyone who's listening, you're not born into sin. The guilt they try to give you, puke it in the nearest bin. I just love it. I had to repeat it because it's so good. And it's an easy rhyme, so to say, but it's such a good one.
Yeah, also like the like line I might be a monkey when it comes to being holy.
Yeah, that one.
Which is a really good one.
That's also good. I like that one too. No, but yeah, it's really good writing on this one. And that's what I mean, it brings the album off really good with that song and the next song we're gonna talk about. Mm. We're gonna talk about the last song?
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay. You won't cry, right?
No, I won't cry. Okay. So we're gonna talk about Transcending. Mm. So why did Gabriel cry? What is this song about? So this is if I would have known Kurt Cobain or listened to him or followed their Nirvana, I would have cried. I promise you I would have cried. And this is why I cried about this song. This is about River Phoenix. And wasn't this Flea's lyrics? Or like Flea's?
No, it's Anthony Kiedis' lyrics, but Flea was present when River Phoenix...
Yeah.
So Flea went with him
to... And that's why he wanted...
Hospital.
Because he wanted to write about... Or like have a song about it. Because that's what they read.
Yeah.
And it's very moving, and it's very... And I went down a rabbit hole of reading and watching things with River Phoenix because he was in movies I grew up with, like Stand By Me, which is very famous, and other movies, and also his brother Joaquin Phoenix. And it was very moving and got me to cry a lot, and especially I just watched the Oscars from... where Joaquin Phoenix won and he quoted a lyric from his brother, which made me cry. So yeah. And also we talked about this, and I wanna talk about this on podcast. I googled something and Viking googled something else, and sometimes you need to, but sometimes you don't need to. And I googled Joaquin Phoenix's 911 call, because it was out there, and my curiosity got the best of hand to me. You've read Kurt Cobain's police report, because you also need to know. And sometimes we as fans and people need to know, but sometimes I also want to just urge everybody to take a moment to think and see especially the police report is a little different.
Yeah, but also it's kind of different when you do it. Like, it would be weird, like, if River Phoenix had died like a month ago.
Yeah.
And listened to it.
Yeah, but this is long ago.
Yeah, but when you like. It happened a long time ago, and you can put perspective on it.
I agree with.
Because then it becomes more about history.
The thing I'm mostly trying to talk about is also the aspect of how personal it is. Mm. Like, I listened to a call. It's different from reading a police report.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. If you want to do what Viking did or me did, that's okay if you think about it and ask, is this personal enough? And I also just wanted to also talk about this aspect of outside the song, which is the Phoenix family had an interview with 60 minutes, sorry, that way I think it was, and they talked about how River Phoenix still impacts their grieving process and their lives today. And their mom said, even though she can take the car to the supermarket, she can break down, cry, take it to the side of the road, and still say, like, after 20 years, the grieving process never heals. And I feel like that for also the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, sometimes it feels like, and us also as people, but like, this was not so long ago, Kurt Cobain and River Phoenix, but still they were healing. And I feel like today, if you would ask them, they probably would say that it has impacted them a lot. Yeah. And I feel like us too. So I feel like, and that's also why I preface like little trigger warning in a sense. But grieving process is never over, really. And you should always allow it to be there. And it's always fun.
It's always fun?
It's always fun. No, it's always fine, I mean. Yeah. And also, the thing I wanted to say that Joaquin Phoenix said about his brother is that he'd run to the rescue with love and peace will follow. Which I found was a nice lyric from River Phoenix. So yeah. Do you have anything to say about the song Viking that I haven't said already? I'm sorry, but like I said, this affected me. If I would have known Kurt Cobain, I would have talked a lot about that song.
But this probably is my favorite song on this record. Because it has a strong subject. It's phenomenally made, and I think this is the song where Dave Navarro's guitar playing really shines. Like, it's like if you believe in a higher purpose, to Dave Navarro land on this like playing on this record was because of this song.
Yeah,
because it's really good, and. This has always been like a very impactful, impactful like song for me.
Yeah. So, do you have anything else to say about Transcending?
Well, we have our last impression. So no. We have the idea we just have our last impressions.
Yeah. I just wanted to end off Transcending with say I love you to everybody in the world. And it kind of ties into the whole COVID-19 thing I was talking about earlier. Just be respectful of people and take care of yourself. And love everybody around you. I'm not going to cry now. Lasting impressions of the album. I liked it. Mm. I liked the album a lot. I feel like the album is underappreciated, and more people should listen to it. And the David Navarro era was one hot minute, and the album is also interesting in itself and should be listened to, really. I really like it. I feel like there's only two weak songs, like we were saying, from my point of view, at least. Otherwise, the album is really good and strong. And I feel like... I'm not a big fan as other Chili heads are. I'll probably get there in a couple of years, but I don't feel like this is that bad that people are making out of to be. And I feel like given time, a lot of people that I saw on Reddit and YouTube comments that did hate this have actually turned around over the years. So I feel like you should give everything a second chance.
Yeah, but I think it was just such a leap from what Blood, Sugar, Sex and Magic was. To this record, it was such like, it was a very big turnaround. So
yeah, I can understand.
I think I think that's why people soured on it and like threw it away and like didn't listen to it, and then like 10 years later they started listening to it again and then started realizing, oh, this is actually like a great album.
Yeah, I have to agree, it's really good. So yeah, that was my lasting impressions. We're done with the album. Never again. I'll maybe listen to it when I'm more migraine free. And I'll, I hope we can do more Chili Peppers in the future, or you can just recommend some that I should listen to. Do maybe an album playlist on Spotify for me, like 2-3 albums that I have heard and haven't heard, like you do. Three albums I haven't heard, 3 albums I have heard, but like listen to it again. I asked Matilda to do that with Evanescence, and actually really good. Future episode, what are we doing? I'm doing sounds, so I because I've hid a vinyl here that I'm gonna show. So close your eyes. I'm gonna give you this. Okay, so take out your hands, and what is the album without looking?
It feels plastic.
Oh my god,
and thin.
Oh yeah,
and
square. It's not the size. Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we're doing it.
But
this is a throwback in a sense, but also not.
Okay, so Gabriel was like, let's do something that's simple and easy and doesn't have a lot of research.
Well, it doesn't. I promise it doesn't. You're gonna do it.
I'm gonna do research. Okay.
No, but honestly, so I feel like I said that because I want to. We've done some awesome episodes, but I want something chill and something fun. And this album is fun because we have talked about it last year for everybody who's followed us. But we're going to get into that on the next episode. But what album is it, Viking, that you're holding?
So it's.
It says on the other side, you dummy.
Yeah, but I'm searching for the. Isn't it this the album?
No? Yeah, it's the album. But we'll get into that, man.
Okay.
But we can. I can give some caveats when you read the band.
I was gonna give a joke.
But no. I'll do that.
Okay.
You read the band. You listen to my voices in my head.
Okay. We're gonna talk about Blues Brothers, Made in America.
Yeah. So the caveat is we're gonna get into some FBI research, maybe. Wink, wink, winking. And some more drugs. We personally are going to get into it, but we're going to talk about it. So the next episode is going to be Blues Brothers, Made in America. A fun, awesome album. I think it's live performed.
I was going to say, is this a live album?
Yeah, I think it's a live album. It's really fun to listen to. It's going to pick you up. And hopefully in this COVID-19 era, it's going to give you some joy. Hopefully you've had a fun time listening to this episode, and we'll hopefully see you at the next one. Don't forget to email us as therecordswappers@gmail.com. The Record Swappers everywhere on social media. Viking's personal Instagram is vinylgamer at Instagram.
Yeah, and yours Bell dot no Bartholomew.bell.
Yeah, Bartholomew.bell. So yeah. Thank you, everybody. We'll swap at you next time.
Yes. Bye-bye.